Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE pulls into the fast lane. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa take the AEW women's division to new heights. And tonight, we try to outwork everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, coming at you on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and on the eve of WWE's Fastlane, we've got a great show for you tonight. I'll break down the news of the week, then take a deeper dive with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer. We'll give you another quarterfinal edition of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament with our continued topic of the pop culture of wrestling. And then our main event tonight, a man that made his return to the ring at the 2021 Royal Rumble after a 7-year absence, and then surprised us once again 2 weeks ago when he was the signee at AEW Revolution. Christian Cage will be on the program with me tonight, and he's got something to say to all you fickle fans out there. His words, not mine. Now, for those of you tuning in on terrestrial radio and looking for our WWE Fastlane pay-per-view recap, Dan the Mouth Lavransky and I will be doing that live tonight, immediately following the WWE pay-per-view. It will be a video broadcast, and you can get access to join us and have your say about tonight's show by signing up at patreon.com/snmeradio. That podcast will also be made available to all of you immediately following our recording of the show. Once again, get your exclusive access at patreon.com/snmeradio. But now, Christian is to come, trivia is to come, Meltzer is to come, but let's kick things off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Don't expect to see Charlie Caruso on WWE TV anytime soon, or anytime at all for that matter. The on-screen personality is reportedly done with the company and isn't expected to re-sign when her deal is up. Fightful first reported there were backstage issues when the 34-year-old was consistently late for interviews for WWE Raw, specifically with Randy Orton and Sheamus. That led her being removed from TV. Apparently, Vince McMahon was told about what was happening and took exception to the situation. PW Insider reported Friday that she is done on TV and is expected to leave. The recent hiring of Kevin Patrick as a backstage correspondent and the host of Raw Talk essentially confirmed it. Her last appearance was on the February 22nd edition of Raw Talk. WWE went back and forth on how many people they were going to be letting into WrestleMania this year, but after pulling the plug on Tuesday's announcement for ticket sales, they ended up releasing tickets in a pre-sale on Thursday and then nearly sold out. Tickets were then officially put on sale Friday morning to the general public. Capacity for both nights is approximately 25,000 people, as opposed to the earlier reported 45,000. WWE also announced on Friday that Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil will be the hosts of this year's WrestleMania. And seeing those two faces on a poster side by side is hilarious. And if you're listening to this show, then you already know why. Wow. Quick update on the Peacock operating features that we mentioned last week. According to this week's Wrestling Observer newsletter, when watching live broadcasts, there will be no features such as rewind, fast forward, and you will also not have the option to start live programming at the beginning if you log in after the show starts. So essentially, this thing is going to operate like TV before the invention of the PVR. Those at Peacock say that they anticipate making live pause and restart controls and the scrub bar previews available before SummerSlam. But you know what that's not in time for? WrestleMania, WWE's biggest show of the year. But remember, this is only affecting you if you're in the United States. If you're anywhere else, your coverage should be unaffected. And that's going to start tonight. Oh boy. The outrage at WrestleMania is going to be overwhelming. WWE consistently putting business ahead of their fans. More Peacock news this week. Somehow, someway, their service listed Daniel Bryan's name for the 2021 WWE Hall of Fame. The post has since been taken down, but you know what they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Why was it listed at all if there was no plans for it? Speaking of WWE and Peacock, here's another thing you can struggle to watch on WrestleMania week, because along with all the Hall of Fame stuff, two NXT shows, two WrestleMania shows, and the regular WWE TV, we also have an NXT UK show. It was announced that NXT UK Prelude will air at 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, April the 8th. It was said that the event will showcase the wrestlers of NXT UK in matches that promise to be some of the most talked about in NXT UK history. Okay, so Prelude's going to be headlined by Walter defending his NXT United Kingdom Championship against Rampage Brown. Along with that, you'll get Tyler Bate versus Noam Dar in a Heritage Cup rules match, has also been announced for the show. This is rather interesting to me, as with Walter appearing on this week's NXT TV, I thought we'd see him versus Ciampa taking place on one of the upcoming NXT TakeOver shows, which I guess they can. One of them is taped. Walter's not going back. Okay, it all makes sense. Lots of Walter, but I'm not complaining against lots of Walter. Love Walter. Speaking of NXT, did you wonder why some of the matches you'd expect to see this week didn't happen and why so many people were cutting promos from their home on Zoom? Well, that's because of yet another COVID-19 outbreak. That led to NXT's Wednesday night main event being Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan defending their titles versus the unlikely duo of Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. Well, it was in that match that Danny Burch separated his right shoulder. At present, no update has been given on plans for the tag titles, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Dunne finds his way into the mix as a placeholder. Last week, WWE announced that Molly Holly was the first inductee to this year's WWE Hall of Fame class. The second was announced this week on the After the Bell podcast, and despite his frequent appearances on AEW Dynamite, Eric Bischoff will be going into the Hall of Fame. Much like everyone that leaves WWE, Paul White, a.k.a. the former Big Show, is doing the podcast rounds. You can catch him on both Renee Paquette's Oral Sessions as well as Chris Jericho's podcast. It is worth checking out just to showcase some WWE stories. For instance, there is one story that White tells about working out a deal with Justin Bieber and his manager Scooter Braun that would have seen the Biebs, Big Show, and John Cena in a SummerSlam match versus the Wyatts. However, decision makers told White that they didn't see how Justin Bieber would relate to their audience. I mean, let's get a new audience here. What? He said they jacked Scooter around for 2 weeks on money before Scooter moved on. Jericho then told the story of how WWE had a chance to bring in Will Ferrell for a WrestleMania moment, but they wouldn't pay an appearance fee, which would have gone to his charity. Strange. Strange that they love celebrities so much, but would turn down Will Ferrell and Justin Bieber. For those of you still very interested in the Kenny Omega Impact Wrestling angle, Omega will be appearing with Don Callis at his side this Tuesday night on Impact. In some sad news, Randall Barry Orton, the uncle of Randy Orton and son of Bob Orton Sr., has passed away at the age of 62. Orton, who wrestled under names like Barry O and the Masked Zodiac, was a rather well-known enhancement talent in WWE in the mid-80s and early 90s, but maybe best known in wrestling in 1991 and 1992 for being in the media spotlight to talk about issues in pro wrestling and claiming Terry Garvin, who at the time worked in talent relations with Pat Patterson, tried to sexually harass him on a car ride while he was a teenager breaking into the wrestling industry in the late 70s. At present, there is no cause of death listed for Barry Orton. On to MMA to end things off here. A couple notes. After months of not accepting that UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov was retired and trying to persuade him to reconsider, Dana White finally relented early on Friday morning. White tweeted out that at 29-0, Nurmagomedov was 100% officially retired, that it was incredible to watch him work, and thanked him for everything. After debuting with the UFC in January 2012, he won the title in April of 2018, successfully defending it 4 times. Now, shortly after Dana tweeted this, you could tell he already had a plan, because ESPN reported former Bellator lightweight champion Michael Chandler and the streaking Charles Oliveira will battle for the vacant title at UFC 262 on May 15th. Location is to be announced, but I'm going to guess it's Florida or Texas, and Dana's just going to fill the building because that is now what he does. Because to Dana, COVID doesn't exist. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, dive a little bit deeper into the news items of the week with Dave Meltzer. And don't forget, later in the show, Christian Cage, AEW's big surprise, is our big surprise tonight. Well, it's not a surprise because I'm telling you about it, but it's later in tonight's show. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Rocky, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Let's take a deeper dive into the news stories that we just touched on with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And Dave, the first personality I want to talk to you about is, well, WWE's Charlie Caruso / Charlie Arnold. What's happening here? Heat and removed from TV.
Yeah, I don't know if she's been released. I've heard two versions. One is that she's been released and the other is that she's not going to be used anymore, but she'll be there until her contract expires. And I don't know which one of those two is correct, but she's done. And it was what I was just told is it was overheat with too much heat with too many people was the description that I was given.
I mean, it kind of throws me because, you know, she's an interviewer and the heat, I guess, could just be a personality conflict, but she was good at what she did. I actually always liked her, and I found it unfortunate that, much like many performers there in the interview category, the longer she was there, the worse she got.
Yeah, you know, it's just like they're so programmed, and, you know, you don't come up with your real questions, and the questions they give you to ask are lame, so it makes you look bad. But, I mean, as far as her poise on camera, her look on camera, I thought that was great, you know, so... you know, what happens from here, I don't know. I mean, obviously she's with ESPN, so she's got that.
Yeah.
If she wants to do wrestling. I mean, look, AEW can't hire everyone, but, so, and they have a lot of interviewers, so I don't know that, they necessarily have a place for her, but they may take her anyway. I mean, they may find a place for her. I don't know.
You're right though. They have a lot of interviewers and a lot of commentators there. And I don't know what Charlie's position on this is, but she is someone that used WWE as a platform, and I can definitely see her just moving on and doing a lot better things with her career at this point.
I could too. Yeah. I could too. She didn't have the notoriety or whatever it was, the goodwill that Renee Paquette had.
Yeah.
When she left, because when Renee Paquette left, it was kind of like, there's so many things that she could do, and I'm sure with Charlie there's she is already with ESPN, and she did have a lot of TV. She's got a good look. She can speak well. So I mean, I would think that she would be able to do quite well for herself. I would hope so.
I think from a broadcasting perspective, I working in the industry, I think so as well. I think she's quite good and quite talented beyond what she's shown in WWE, actually. Let's talk about this COVID breakout. Of course, COVID hitting the news and hitting the wrestling news over and over again. An NXT breakout, very evident from what they did on television this week, but seems to have spread beyond NXT, which is expected because everyone's in the same place.
Everyone's in the same place and they all intermingle with each other. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know names, but we certainly can watch TV and see people who were on tape that should have been live and people who just, should have been on TV just from basic obviousness that weren't there. There's a lot of people, from Paul Levesque on down, there were matches changed that were advertised. Some were acknowledged on TV, some just weren't there. But, backstage, I mean, like, usually everyone is there from NXT, and backstage, I got a list of people. It's actually in the Observer. It's a long list of people that even if they're not on TV, they would be backstage that were not even there. So it was pretty significant this time.
And what is scarier about a list than when you get into backstage talent is the age of some other people, like Vince McMahon, for instance, that is working backstage, that is in a very dangerous demographic.
Yeah. I mean, most of the production people and stuff that, most of them in NXT would probably be 40s. Mm-hmm. The ones that I would think of, 40s, maybe some early 50s. But in WWE, you're going to have older people that have been there for decades. Yeah. There's a few of them. And, Vince, obviously 75. That's pretty old.
Danny Burch hurt this week, separated shoulder. Any status update coming out of NXT and potential future of the tag titles?
No, that's a really good question as far as the tag titles go. Especially since they just did the tag team tournament, the Dusty tournament. So doing another tournament is going to be tough. They also just, when they created the women's tag team titles, they just handed the belts to somebody.
Yeah.
And doing that, I could see the idea, if Danny Burch is out for a while, of just having Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan as tag team champions. I haven't been told that, but it sort of seems like that's an answer that you could do.
Yeah, I think that makes absolute sense, and considering all the things that you just said, the last thing you want to do is run another tournament, give away the titles, etc. And Pete Dunne, kind of at a place right now, doesn't have a program, so it would slide in there very, very nicely.
Yeah, but I mean, they definitely, if you listen to the TV, of course, you can always change, but he was definitely still being pushed in that NXT title situation.
Which confused me.
Because he lost his title shot, but I think that it just felt like they were still keeping him in there, because, if Karrion Kross wins, then he's got to have a bunch of challengers. So maybe Pete Dunne would be one of those challengers, but things happen, and maybe this is what you pivot to, is you just put Pete Dunne in the tag team situation, because they've got, MSK looks like they're the top contenders once Wesley Lee, his hand heals up and everything.
Yep.
And, Pete Dunne can work great with those guys.
Let's talk about that, actually. With Karrion Kross, do you believe, or do you know for that matter, if Karrion Kross is designed for an NXT title run, or he has such hype around him and is thought about so well of the main roster, for main roster talent, is he being swept away after Mania?
I don't know the answer. I think he's going to beat Finn Balor for the championship, though.
Hmm. Okay.
That is my gut feeling, because he had the title. He got injured, so they took it away. But he was scheduled for a run,
gotcha.
To make a name. So I presume that that's, you know, Balor was just a plug-in because, you know, he was gone. So I presume that's where they're going to go back. But, you know, yeah, he could go just to the main roster after WrestleMania and not even, you know, and lose that match and then go right to the main roster.
Let's talk Walter. I didn't read spoilers, and I watched this late, and I was still pleasantly surprised to see Walter on NXT this week. But he was also announced to be part of the NXT UK takeover, though it seemed like he was programmed with Ciampa. Are they putting this guy in two places in two continents at one time?
Yeah, well, the one's going to be taped.
Ah.
So you can do the UK one's going to be taped, so he's probably already taped that already. And he must have, because here's the deal. It must have been taped already, because if he goes back, he's got to quarantine for a while, and that would probably take him out of WrestleMania, or out of that show if it was. And it's not live, so yeah. I mean, he can't. I mean, it's 2 weeks, but he didn't come in to do one TV and then get out. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing the takeover match with Ciampa.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk again. That week is just absolutely bananas for WWE. It's no longer WrestleMania weekend. It is WrestleMania week. Part of that is the 2021 Hall of Fame. Some weirdnesses that has gone on there, especially with Peacock. A lot of weirdness with Peacock. But Daniel Bryan was listed on Peacock for the 2021 Hall of Fame. Does that just look to be a mistake, or is Daniel Bryan, who has openly said he's winding down his career, going in?
I presume that at one point that was the plan and probably still is. But, I mean, no one has told me. You don't make, like, those things are often said ahead of time, and that's where you get them, and then they're supposed to be, you know, not revealed, but sometimes they accidentally are because you know about it. So his name didn't come out of nowhere. So, yeah, I'm sure that when Peacock was told about the Hall of Fame that he was the name, you know, they put him there because he was probably one of the biggest names, maybe the biggest name that they were expecting from the so-called 2021 class. So as far as I know, yeah, and it does feel weird but they've inducted active people before, but usually no. So it was a surprise for sure, but you know, he also is exceedingly deserving.
True, and I mean, what is or what isn't deserving for WWE Hall of Fame anyway?
Right. Everyone and anyone's deserving, because it's just like whoever they pick. Yeah,
it is.
It's not like there's a criteria of you've got to be here 10 years, you've got to be a main eventer. I mean, you know, you've got to be super great at what you do. It's like, you know, if you're there, and they pick you and your name comes up and they have a, you know, they have a slot, you know, they categorize everyone anyway, and, you know, whatever. But Daniel Bryan would be, you know, a Hall of Famer under any circumstance.
Yeah, it's just so strange. That would be like saying, hey, Connor McDavid, we know you're still playing for the Oilers, but hey, head on into the Hall of Fame already, and then we'll let you finish your career.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
For WWE, but WWE, again, it's WWE. Anything goes.
Yeah, I mean, anything goes.
You know, they put people in the Hall of Fame who were still active before, so, yeah.
AEW, let's flip over to that direction. This past week, the women's main event delivered, in my opinion, beyond expectations. Best women's AEW match in history, and, I mean, I feel like one of these two women should have the title ASAP, Dave, to really get this division on track.
Yeah, you know, I think Britt Baker should be champion. I think that from a personality standpoint, and Thunder Rosa should be, who beat her, that Thunder Rosa should be chasing and keep this thing going. It's hard, though, because they've done this. Now they've done this, it's like, this is a standard. How do you equal that standard? You know, it's like going back to it. I mean, you want to because it's such a great match. But if you go back, I mean, what do you do? Do you do blood all over again and everything to do that? Because that then you know, it's tough. It's tough to follow up a match like that. But they will. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. You are going to follow up on that match, and it makes all the sense in the world to do it. But yeah, I think both the women really elevated themselves. I just feel like, you know, Britt Baker comes across as a superstar, and Thunder Rosa has something about Thunder Rosa that's, I don't know what it is exactly, but she's very compelling to watch. It's like there's something about her as a babyface that you just get behind. That's a great thing.
Oh, I completely agree. I think she's hugely marketable as well for many different reasons. She's excellent.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she's got, there's something, I think they're both very marketable.
Yep. Yep. No, I mean, it's very curious to watch Britt Baker. I mean, this is a huge success story. When she came in, she was painted as the squeaky clean Dr. Babyface, and it wasn't till she flipped heel that now she has come into her own and improved the in-ring work as well. I mean, this is a success story right here.
It's funny because, like, when the company started, I mean, I remember, you know, Tony Khan and I both had talked about it, you know, that what a, you know, like a practicing dentist.
Yep.
You know, and she's marketable, and she speaks well, and she, you know, you could take her to meetings, and she's going to come off great. And we thought, oh, you know, build the whole women's division around her, but she wasn't ready. And now she's ready.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, that's the difference. Now she's ready. She's got the whole thing down, and it was the heel turn, and the other one was, it was the injury. You know, when she got hurt, whatever it was, she figured it out. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes, you know, what they say, the light bulb comes on or something. I mean, she just went from being someone who was learning wrestling, and all of a sudden, when she was out, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was studying. I don't know what. I don't know if it's, you know, she was a heel before, but she just figured it out, and she came back, and her wrestling was so much better. And, you know, there we are. Now you've got someone that's like a, you know, someone who can be a real superstar.
All right, Dave, before we go, let's just touch on the passing of Randy Orton's uncle. Barry Orton passes away. I recall him as enhancement talent in WWE when I was younger. I, however, had no idea the amount of outside-the-ring controversy that he had found himself in.
Yeah, well, I mean, he, you know, I mean, when in 92, when, you know, the sex steroid scandal period of WWE, WWF at the time, that, you know, he was one of the guys on every, you know, Geraldo Rivera, he was on Phil Donahue with me, he was on Larry King, talking about an incident that with Terry Garvin from the late 70s, where Terry Garvin, like, hit on him when he was 19 years old, when he was just breaking into the business. And, you know, he did a lot of interviews. He came off real well. I liked him a lot. You know, personally, I really liked the guy. And I was really sad to hear and shocked because, you know, just went through it with Tom Cole. And then also, like, literally the minute I found out about it, I had just gotten off of doing a show with John Arezzi, who was also on that show with me. And it was just like, we were talking about that whole thing. And he was a sharp guy. And, you know, he tried to, you know, that pretty much killed his career in wrestling. You know, two things killed his career. What really killed his career was being an enhancement guy for so long. Because he got typecast as an enhancement guy. He was actually a really talented, he had a good look, he was really talented, he was a great promo, but you never saw any of that because he was an enhancement guy. The real stuff of how good he was in Stampede Wrestling in 1987, when he was a main eventer as the Zodiac with Jason the Terrible, and they were the top heels in the territory, and he did great. But he, he was a real talent.
Dave, do we know a cause of death as of yet? I just continually see the reports of passed away at 62.
I don't know anything. No, I haven't heard.
All right. Well, we'll follow along with that this week. And that is great. We shall talk to you next week at this same time. Enjoy the pay-per-view tonight, I suppose.
Oh, I think, you know, look, Daniel Bryan in the main event, determined to have a match of the year, and he is. He'll have, you know, that main event's going to be great.
Oh, Dave, before we go, what is coming up in the Observer this week? What do you have on tap that you can promo?
Well, I'm sure I'll do a story on Barry Orton, mm-hmm. certainly on the New Japan Cup. And, you know, that's the main stuff that I know now. I mean, who knows? You know, obviously, we're getting close to announcements, you know, a lot more announcements on WrestleMania as they come and angles and trying to figure out who's in and who's not and who's healthy and who's not. And there's really a lot going on right now.
Yeah. Who's healthy and who's not is definitely a topic that is going to be continually monitored, I think, this year, more than even last year and more than ever.
Yeah, at least for the next couple of months.
Yeah, for sure. Dave, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Find all of Dave's work at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you're wondering why I didn't pry into talking about tonight's pay-per-view, is because we're going to be doing our own review for tonight's show, and that is going to be available to all of our patrons. It'll be a live review. We're doing video broadcast as well, and you'll get the link at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So this show is kind of like Sunday afternoon's main event. That's when we're recording it. Then it broadcasts on radio Sunday night. So tonight, though, it's kind of like we're going to be doing double duty. It's like how if you're watching Raw on the USA Network, you can flip over to the WWE Network, and they have to put on other programming. So that's kind of like what we have to do on Sunday nights. Nonetheless, get all of what we do at SundayNightsMainEvent.com or Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Right now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do another round of the Turnbuckle Trivia quarterfinals, and then we will round things out with the interview with Jay Riso / Christian Cage. It's all still to come tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, and we have the number 2 seed versus the number 7 seed as we continue on with the quarterfinals. First up, Paul from Waterdown. Now, Paul, you did very well in the qualifying round, just scooped out by 1 point, but you're walking in here as the number 2 seed. You're facing number 7, though. How is your confidence going in to this round?
That's a lot of pressure. We'll see how we do.
Well, you are the favorite. Now, you're going in against Andre from Edmonton. Andre, you didn't have to watch anything this week. At least that had to be a good thing for you.
It was a bit more positive than last time, yeah.
All right, good stuff. Well, gentlemen, here we go. Let's get into it. 5 questions each, same format as always. And your category is the pop culture of wrestling, meaning when pop culture invades the world of wrestling. Paul, you are player 1. Here is question number 1. You can't talk wrestling and celebs without mentioning Cyndi Lauper at WrestleMania 1. She was in the corner of Wendy Richter as Wendy won the championship by defeating whom?
Rockin' Robin?
That is incorrect. It was Leilani Kai. All right, Andre, to you. Who is the guest timekeeper for the main event of WrestleMania 1?
I have no idea. Robert Goulet?
What a great reference, Andre, but incorrect. The correct answer is Liberace was. All right, back to you now, Paul. At WrestleMania 11, Shawn Michaels faced off against Diesel. What celebrity accompanied HBK to the ring?
Jenny McCarthy?
That is correct. Very good, Paul. All right, Andre, to you. At that same WrestleMania 11 match, what celebrity accompanied Diesel to the ring?
Pamela Anderson.
That is correct, Andre. Very good. 1-1 right now. We move along. Paul, to you. All right, here we go. In a movie crossover, what character showed up to save Sting at NWA Capital Combat 1990?
Robocop
did, in a horrendous segment as he pulled the bars off a cage. Andre, we're going to keep with horrendous segments to keep it even. On October 12th, 1998, what horror movie character showed up on WCW Nitro's big screen to interrupt Mean Gene Okerlund and Rick Steiner in an interview segment?
I'm going to say Freddy Krueger.
That is incorrect, Andre. I'm sorry. The correct answer is Chucky from Child's Play. It was terrible. All right, back to you, Paul. Speaking of terrible, in perhaps the worst women's match of all time, what Survivor competitor wrestled Charmel at Victory Road 2009?
Oh, I can think of the match. I just can't think of the name. I don't have. I'll say Christy Hemme, but that's not right.
It was not Christy Hemme. It was Jenna Maraska is the correct answer, and I'm not surprised you forgot it. Because it was terrible. Andre, we're not going to stop at the terrible. And evening things out, you also get an Impact Wrestling question. That same year, at Lockdown 2009, former Partridge Family actor Danny Bonaducci also showed up. He wrestled in a cage match on the pre-show versus whom?
I want to say... he's ridiculous. So Eric Young?
That is correct. Very good. Oh. I can't believe you got that. It is 2-2 right now. Final questions each. Here we go. Paul, to you. In November of 2010, what Money in the Bank winner confronted Pee Wee Herman while he was guest hosting Raw in order to be frustrated because he kept saying ring, which was the secret word?
Go with The Miz.
The Miz is correct. Very good, Paul. All right, Andre, to you. Who donned a gray suit and red bow tie to come to the aid of Pee-wee?
I'm going to say John Cena.
That is incorrect, Andre. I'm sorry. The correct answer was... Do you know, Paul?
I would guess Zack Ryder.
It was not Zack Ryder either. It was actually The Big Show that interrupted and came to his aid. But with that, we have a 3-2 victory. Congratulations, Paul. You are moving on to the next round. Andre, thanks for playing. That was a crazy matchup. You almost had it, but Paul's got you by one.
Good congrats, Paul.
Great game, Andre.
And with that, we await one more matchup in the quarterfinals. It'll happen next week, and we're going to find out who Paul's opponent is. It'll either be Jay from North Bay or Josh from North Carolina, and that'll be on next week's show. And then we get into the semis, and it'll all come together on WrestleMania weekend when we crown our 2021 champion and then our all-time champion. And then after that, hey, remember, if you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia, now's a great time to jump on board the Patreon at the Turnbuckle Trivia level, because the week following WrestleMania, we go back to playing regular games and giving out t-shirts. That's what we do, a special little thing here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. All right, taking a break, and then when we come back, our featured interview this week, Jay Riso / Christian Cage, next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the Old Folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the Old Folks, tough guy!
Are you fluent in sports? Check out the Sports Fluent Network for all your sports needs. And be more in the loop with great shows like this one, Sunday Night's Main Event, and The Coach, an AK experience with NFL coach Hugh Jackson. You can find these shows and so much more at sportsfluent.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's featured interview time, and I got the chance to chat with Christian Cage, the latest big debut in AEW. This interview was done this past Tuesday, so I was unable to talk to him about anything that was going on Dynamite. But in this interview, obviously, we all had questions. Christian shows up at the Royal Rumble. He has the big hug with Edge. This is a glorious reuniting of two longtime friends. We all know the history. These guys came up together. I was so excited for the potential of Edge and Christian versus different tag teams in WWE. And actually, I do ask Christian about that in this interview, and we get into why he made the decision to move from WWE to AEW. So here we go, our interview with Jason Riso / Christian Cage. Jay Riso / Christian Cage, welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show. And from all wrestling fans, thanks for coming back to the ring. This was quite the surprise. I mean, you were retired. You took a 7-year break from taking bumps. And we all know the story. The retirement was due to concussion issues.
Yep.
In the back of your brain, Jay, through all of that, did you always have it in your mind that you did want to make a return to the ring?
No, actually, I was pretty content with being retired, to be honest with you. And, you know, when you're told that you can't do this anymore, it gives a different spin. Like it's the decision is taken out of your hands. So you're not kind of like, oh, was it too soon or this or that? It was like, okay, they're not going to let me do this again. This is where we're at. And, you know, kind of what's next. So that's kind of how I looked at it. And it was just kind of a series of events that kind of led me back.
Yeah. So what were those events? I mean, I'd imagine that, you know, with concussion issues, Daniel Bryan had to be something. And then with Adam stepping back into the ring, but what was the one that really flicked the switch for you?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm not going to lie that, you know, Edge coming back at the previous year's Royal Rumble kind of put a little seed in my brain that maybe this could happen at different injuries, but then I was kind of like, what if? And then I was like, no, I can't think like that. You know, it's different injuries. And then, you know, kind of as we further we went along, you know, with everything going on in the world and kind of everybody being locked down, it gave me a lot of time to reflect on a lot of things. And a lot of that was my career. You know, I was going on long walks every single night, and it just gave me, you know, I put my headphones on and just go for a long walk and just started thinking, you know, like, man, what if? And then it came around where I did the unsanctioned match with Randy Orton, and you know, they had to make it unsanctioned because I was on the non-contact list, as they called it. Like I couldn't even get touched, and I was just like, man, this is really where I'm at. That I'm that fragile that I can't get touched. I was like, this can't be. Like I don't feel that way. Like I feel great. And so from that, I decided on my own to go to a facility here at the University of South Florida in Tampa and just get evaluated on my own and just even just see where I was at and do all the testing. And then, you know, kind of lay it out for the doctor what I was looking to do. And if he said, no, we don't think you should do this, then I was in no different spot than I was when I woke up that morning. And if he said, I think you can, then it opens up some new doors. So I went and did the tests and sat down with the doctor after, and we had a conversation, and he said, I don't think you're crazy at all. I think you can do this if you want to. And he said, your test scores were great. And you know, just kind of went from there.
And of course, you know, there's a lot of training involved in getting back into ring shape of all yeah. of that. But, you know, fast forwarding to the Royal Rumble, I mean, as someone who was actually at Breakdown in Hamilton, when you debuted in WWE and watched ENC roll through, the return yeah. to the Rumble and the reuniting with Edge, I mean, it was a magical moment for us as fans. How was that moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty surreal. And you're right, there was a lot of work that went on in between. You know, when I had that conversation with the doctor, it was end of June of last year. And then I was like, hey, you know, I got to put the work in here and get back in shape physically. Not that I was out of shape, but, you know, I was retired and obviously gyms not being open and things like that. So made it hard. So I put a little gym in my garage and hired a nutrition company, to kind of get my diet on point and just started putting the work in, just grinding every day and started to see positive changes. And it just, like I said, it just kind of kept snowballing from there. And yeah, and kind of fast forward to the Rumble, you know, I got called with less than 48 hours notice to do that. And it was kind of one of those things where I was like, hey, you've always bet on yourself. This is no different, you know, go in there. And if you look good, then you're kind of, you know, doing yourself a favor. And if not, then, hey, that's on you too. So thankfully, you know, I've always said this is kind of what I was born to do. So I had all the confidence in the world that I was going to go in there and have a great showing. And I felt that I did.
Now, obviously, you and Edge, you know, pals before WWE, on camera, off camera, a guy who's just made a return as well. What was he saying while you were prepping for this and decided to make the comeback?
Yeah, of course, he was one of the few people that knew. And, you know, he was super excited for me, you know, because he was in the same boat. Like I said, it's hard when, not that I had a problem being retired, but it never really sat well with me as far as, you know, if you have a chance to end your story on your own terms, I think there's something to be said for that. And it's just that this is a chance for me to come back and close that this chapter of my life on my own terms, and also set up the next generation that's coming in as well. And I think I have a lot of experience and something and some things to pass along. And I look forward to doing that as well.
Now, I do want to get to AEW, of course, and want to focus on that. But, you know, there are fans out there, including myself, that super excited for you and AEW and all of the possibilities that brings about. Matches, plus you giving back, training new guys, young roster. But, you know, Jay, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was hoping for an ENC reunion. Maybe matches against guys like the Usos and the New Day. In making your decision to go to AEW, was that at all a consideration?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I said before, I mean, these are life-changing decisions that you're making, you know, and career-changing decisions. And, you know, I had to weigh all my options and just see what the best platform was, like I said, for me to do all the things that I want to do, which is, you know, kind of cement, I hate to use the word legacy or anything like that, but like, you know, kind of cement the end of my career. And like I said, the best way that I can give back and help the next generation after. And I had conversations with both sides, and it's kind of a cool thing too, is being a free agent and you know, having the ability to make a decision that's best for you at that time. I think that there's something to be said for that. And you know, I'm good friends with John Moxley, and you know, we were talking, and he just said, you know, he was obviously talking about his experience at AEW, and he said, you should at least have a conversation with Tony, like at least have a talk. And he was right. You know, I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't weigh all my options and see everything that was out there. So I had a conversation with Tony, and things escalated pretty quickly. And within a week we had a deal done.
Wow. Okay. So Mox is the recruiter here. I got it. Very good. Well, he's obviously done so well after moving over to AEW, but that conversation with Tony, who called who? I'm guessing it's a phoner. And then does it just open up saying, hey, Jay, Christian, like, what do you want to do here? Or how did that go down?
Well, we had met actually 7 years ago through a mutual friend, and we ended up having dinner and hanging out for a few hours. And even then it was apparent to me how much passion he had for wrestling and how much he loved it. You know, the guy's an encyclopedia of wrestling. And he was telling me things about my career that I didn't even remember. And, you know, he was, you know, he's talking to me about wrestling, and I was trying to convince him to let me be the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, saying, hey, you know, Canadian that's never played a down of American football in his life. It'd be pretty, it's kind of, you know, get people talking. Anyway, I didn't get the
makes
job.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. We just talked and we had a couple texts in between, and then we're just like, hey, let's talk. So we ended up talking on the phone, and we talked for a couple hours, and you know, he was telling me what he thought I could do, how I could contribute to AEW and the things that I could bring. And I was telling him obviously the things that I felt I could bring as well. And we just had good conversations. And more than anything, you know, Tony is a good person. And I appreciate that about him. Like, he was just a genuinely nice guy, and I don't know how else to put it. But I just liked his passion and the conversations that we had and how he felt like could contribute. And that was a big factor for me.
Now, I know you haven't been there for long as of yet, but in being behind the scenes and chatting with the guys, seeing new people, seeing people you've known from the past, do you find that there is a culture difference in AEW versus WWE?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is. I mean, it's, and look, don't get me wrong. Like, I've WWE is great, and they do things the way they do things, and it works. It's just, it's kind of just a little bit more. I don't know exactly how to put it, but it's a younger company, obviously, and I feel like the talent is able to be a little more creative and be a little more open with their creativity. Because as an artist, and that's what wrestlers are, the artists, they want to create. And I just feels like that is a little bit more prevalent in AEW to me.
The debut, it's at Revolution. Not you, but there is hype from the newly signed Paul White as to this signing, someone with Hall of Fame credentials, and then boom, you come out there at Revolution. How did you feel about the way that you were presented before people even knew who you were, like how this build all came about?
Well, I mean, it was surprising to me, and if I'm being completely transparent here, the conversations we had was that I was going to be a surprise. It was going to be a total surprise. And, you know, when Tony made the announcement, I hadn't even signed yet. So I guess he felt comfortable enough in our conversations that it was going to happen. And, or he had a backup plan. I don't know. I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, that's his call of how he wanted to present that. And, look, the way I think of it is that, you know, when you make that kind of announcement, it doesn't matter who it is. There's going to be, you've given people now, an opinion, and they're going to, you know, pick who they think it should be or who they want it to be. And when it's not who they want it to be, they're going to be upset. It doesn't matter who it is. And that's fine. I mean, that's their choice. And, you know, I think it's pretty obvious, especially the social media, like wrestling fans are very fickle. And, you know, a lot of times that's just the way it goes. And, but the same people will probably be saying, if I went somewhere else, like, oh, he's not being used right. And this and that, blah, blah. Like, I mean, so it is what it is. You take it with a grain of salt and move on.
Now, you were someone, as we talked about, that had your career taken away from you. You didn't go out on your own terms. You already stated that. Now that you have the opportunity, it's in AEW, what do you want to accomplish here? Like, what will make you be able to walk away from your career again, maybe in several years, but this time, happy?
Well, I just would like to go out there and just continue putting on quality matches that engage the audience. And tell stories that engage the audience. And I feel like I'll be able to do that in AEW. And if I didn't feel like I'd come back and compete at the same level or better than I was, I wouldn't even be doing this. So in a way, I feel like my body's been preserved for 7 years. I feel better than I've ever felt physically. And yeah, I'm just ready to come in there and, you know, it's kind of like it's not even really a tagline. It's kind of like how I'm feeling in my head. Come in there and outwork everyone.
Now, as we speak right now, we're recording this on a Tuesday. Tomorrow we have Dynamite. You have yet to speak on camera as we're talking here. If there is a promo lined up for tomorrow night, how much of that responsibility has been put into your hands versus guidance from the company?
100%.
Really? All right. Well, that's something to definitely look forward to then. I love that they're giving performers so much more creative. And I mean, how is that for you? Do you feel extra pressure because of that? Or is it more freeing as a performer?
I think it's always easier when you can talk in your own words, you know, it's authentic, it's real, and it's you. And that's, so for me, it's better for me personally.
Now, the first program it looks that you are set up with is for Kenny Omega. You know, this is someone, obviously, there's a real Canadian skew with AEW, with you, with Kenny, with Chris. That is right at the top of the card. Did it surprise you coming in that it looks like you could be headed towards a title shot here right out of the gate?
Yeah, I'm not expecting, and I think it was, you know, I'm not expecting to come in and work for the world title. Off the bat, you know, I know how AEW is, especially with the rankings and things like that. So I have to work my way up here a little bit, but it was a good opportunity to go out there and just kind of give the fans a taste, you know, kind of like that moment where wow, I never thought I would see these two standing in the ring face to face ever. Just give them a little taste and, you know, we'll see what happens from there.
Well, listen, I think we look forward to a lot of those moments. Just seeing you in the ring again is amazing. Stay healthy. I've been a fan, as I said, since you, well, really dealing with Ron Hutchinson here. So even back before that breakdown debut, Jay/Christian, all the best. Stay healthy and best of luck with whatever's going to happen in AEW.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Christian Cage for hanging out, being open and honest about why he's returned, all of his rehab, and what he's looking forward to in the world of AEW. Wish him all the best, and that wraps us up tonight. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Now remember, we're still going to be doing our show tonight, our after party for WWE Fastlane. It will be for patrons only. We'll be broadcasting immediately following the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view, and you can get the link to join the broadcast if you sign up to patreon.com/snmeradio. The podcast will then be available right after that for all of you to listen to. But if you want to see Dan Lavransky's beautiful face, then you've got to be a patron. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think we're both suited better for radio. Anyhow, we're going to be doing that tonight. So join us then. And if you're listening on terrestrial radio, we'll talk to you next week at this same time right here on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial-free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/snmeradio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron-exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.